Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, Falcoholics. What is up? Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin, here to bring you the first roster projection of the 2024 season. We've seen free agency. We've seen the draft. We haven't seen training camp yet, but that's okay. This is the post-draft edition of the roster projection, or as I like to refer to it, the entirely too early edition for doing this. But mostly a fun exercise, right? We get to see a mostly complete roster. I believe the Falcons are sitting at 85 players at this stage. So they have five open spots on the roster. We'll see if they make any additions after rookie minicamp, which is going to be this weekend. It is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 10th through the 12th of May. And we'll get some reports, obviously, coming out of there about who's, you know, looking good early and whatnot. But they may make some additions from minicamp. They always have a bunch of tryout players there, including veterans. We'll see if anything comes of that or what changes. But, you know, as we talked about on live on Wednesday, you know, there are still a number of roster holes. I would be kind of shocked if the Falcons don't make any additional moves at safety, at corner, for example. But we will see. This staff seems to have a lot of faith in their ability to coach these guys up, and maybe they'll be successful in doing that. I typically like to have a more of a balance of veterans, reliable veterans versus guys you're hoping to coach up. But we know this is what the Rams did last year, and they had a lot of success doing it, relying on a ton of young, unproven players and getting a lot out of them, despite the fact that they didn't have a ton that they could invest in the defensive side of the ball. They had to basically go all in on the draft, and it worked out really well for them. So maybe that'll happen here in Atlanta, maybe not. But we're going to take a look at this depth chart. We're going to take a look at the guys that I have making the roster. No practice squad yet, because again, that is a way entirely too early for making those projections. But we're going to do the 53-man roster, and we will get to that in just a second. Before we do, want to bring you a real quick word from today's sponsor, betonline.ag. folks, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. They've got the latest stats, news, and scores available as you follow your favorite teams to the playoffs, to the championships, and beyond. I know we got a lot of Braves fans in here. You could definitely bet the Braves if you think they're going to come out of their little mini slump here. I know Adnan's very hopeful. He's not down on the Braves. Not much else going on in Atlanta sports until the summer, but I'm sure you can get some really degenerate like NFL futures bets and things like that if you're really looking for it. Because BetOnline, they've got the latest odds and lines. They've got the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website today, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. So we're going to kick this thing off with the offense. And again, you know, the way you do this is you pick players for each position group and you count them up. And if it comes to 53, then you've done it correctly, right? And just don't forget that the last three are your special team guys. Like you need a kicker, you need a punter, and you need a long snapper. Don't forget those when you're making this. I have done that before by mistake. But starting with the offense, we're going to go, I don't really know, you know, Raheem Morris's preferences for how he likes to construct his roster. So this is especially going to be more of a crapshoot. It got fairly easy to predict Arthur Smith's tendencies. He was going to carry a lot of tight ends, didn't really care that much about receiver. They typically only carry two quarterbacks, you know, that sort of thing. We don't really know what Raheem Morris is going to do with this roster. So we're guessing a little bit here, but just going off what we know so far, quarterback, you know, after watching this team in 2023, right, it's no shock that they've basically completely remade this room except for Taylor Heinicke, which that's probably the most shocking thing, that Taylor Heinicke's still here. we all know Falcons gave a 4-year, $180 million contract to Kirk Cousins. It's effectively a 2-year, $100 million contract, and we've talked about that at length, so we won't spend more on it here. They also drafted Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick. We know how controversial that was, but you know, the idea is clearly Cousins is going to be the starter for 2 years. Michael Penix Jr. is going to take over. Hopefully that'll go smoothly. You know, Taylor Heinicke kind of seems superfluous here. I don't know if they plan on Heinicke just being the quarterback too, at least initially. Like he's the backup to start things off. You know, they basically guaranteed the remainder of his contract when he agreed to that pay cut. So there's not really much savings for moving on from him. It seems like they're just going to have him stick around as the quarterback three, quarterback two, however you want to label it. And he'll probably be the game day backup, I assume, but I'm not sure. You know, it wouldn't shock me if Penix is the game day backup either, but we'll just see how he progresses this offseason. At running back, we got four guys in this group. Again, the top two, not going to surprise anyone. Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier. You know, I think Bijan's probably going to get more of that bell cow treatment under this staff. That's what the Rams have usually done. I think that Allgeier is a good running back too, who has been able to carry the load as a running back one in the past. He's probably going to be more of a spell guy for Bijan. I don't think they're going to be rotating them for specialized roles like Arthur Smith did with these two, where it was basically a full committee. I think Bijan's going to be the bell cow that's going to get the majority of the work in both the pass and run game. But Allgeier will be there. If Bijan has to miss any time due to injury or if he needs a breather, they've got Allgeier. He's ready to go. That should be a great help in case they do, because, you know, running backs get hurt. That's a thing. So if you have someone like Allgeier waiting in the wings to take over, that's always good to have. Obviously, he's not costing you a ton either on his rookie contract. So great insurance there, and we know what Allgeier can do. He's very good at it, and I'm glad to have him around. Falcons also drafted a running back late in Jace McClellan from Alabama. I actually like Jace McClellan quite a bit. I think he's super underrated. I think he just was in that sort of smash of running backs at the end of the draft where it's like, oh, are these guys good enough to be starters? You know, what are you getting here? But I think McClellan, he's just a good all-around back. Very good pass blocker. He can catch the ball. He runs well. He's got good vision. I don't think he's like special in any one area, but he kind of checks all the boxes. So he's a good depth running back. I think he can fill all the roles. He can play on third downs if needed. That'll help him make the roster. That'll help him play special teams. You know, I think he will be someone that is going to stick around and easily kind of take that running back three job, in my opinion. And then the wild card here is Avery Williams. You know, I think he's probably going to be mostly a return specialist. But we've seen that, you know, like with Kyren Williams in Los Angeles, the Rams offense is not afraid to give the ball to smaller running backs. You know, I think that Avery Williams could potentially do more as a running back in time. I don't know that I'm betting on that happening. I think at this point, he is the primary return guy. You know, I don't know if he's going to return both punts and kicks or how they're going to have that out. But I think they're hoping that he can return to form, be that great punt returner that we saw in his first season doing that. And, you know, he might be a factor on kick returns as well. They may have two guys back there. And of course he'll be competing probably with Ray McLeod for those duties. But I think that Williams as a punt returner, very good, should be a big boost from what Atlanta had last season, assuming he's back to health. And then that leads us to tight end, where this is a big departure from what we've seen in the past, right? Falcons are going to probably keep three tight ends. You know, they're not going to keep five or whatever it was they kept last year or most years under Arthur Smith. They're probably going to keep three tight ends. Obviously, Kyle Pitts is the number one. They've talked a lot about he's going to be a focal point. He's going to be, you know, a big part of this offense, all that. I hope so. I still have a lot of faith in Kyle Pitts. I think he could be an integral part of this offense being better than people expect. But we got to see it. You know, this is a very important year for Kyle Pitts. They signed Charlie Werner in free agency to be the primary blocking tight end. That's probably what he's going to do for the most part. You know, I think we're going to see plenty of stuff with Kyle Pitts and Charlie Werner on the field together. But Pitts will probably be aligned and considered a wide receiver, like if he's in the slot or out wide or whatever. So I sort of expect that Pitts is probably going to play the majority of his snaps as a wide receiver, not play a whole lot in line, because that's what Charlie Werner's for. And if Charlie Werner goes down, we got John Fitzpatrick, who I think just makes a lot of sense to win tight end three. He's a blocking guy. He's got good size. He's got good hands. Not overly dynamic as a receiver, but if you're looking for someone to block for you, I think Fitzpatrick is a good fit there. So that's who I'm expecting to win that job. And then we get to wide receiver, which this is always a fun one to watch in camp. You never know how these UDFAs are going to do. How are they going to flash? You know, what about these? The Falcons have added a ton of new faces to this room. You know, in this projection, I'm going to have four new receivers making it compared to last year. The only two returning guys are Drake London and Kadarius Hodge. So obviously Drake London's going to stay number one, right? No question there. I think he's probably going to have the largest target share of anyone in the offense, like overall. You know, Darnell Mooney going to be the wide receiver too. Again, I don't know what type of volume Mooney's going to see. They paid him a lot of money. You have to think that means he's going to be a big player in this offense, but is he mostly a deep guy? Is he doing a lot of intermediate stuff? How are they going to utilize that speed? How are they going to get him favorable matchups? Seems more likely he's going to be on the outside, but I guess we'll see. And then we've got Rondale Moore, who's kind of the wild card, right? Never eclipsed 450 yards in a season, has been more of a gadget player throughout his career, has had some encouraging, you know, stuff. Like, I mean, I know that the team often references that he leads the NFL in separation and stuff like that. So maybe there is something here. He's obviously an elite athlete. He's going to be the slot starter. They didn't really add any significant competition for him, so it seems like they're pretty happy with that. We'll see what he can do there. I think Kadarius Hodge, you know, he's one of the special teams aces. We saw last year he could play outside, he could play inside. He's just a really good, like, wide receiver five type of guy. Like, I think he could play wherever you need him if someone goes down, and he's going to be one of your primary and most productive special teams players in terms of, you know, coverage ability and being a gunner and stuff like that. So Hodge is back for sure. You know, I've got Ray McLeod making it too. I think the Falcons want more insurance at returner. That's why they added McLeod, and are also probably going to keep Avery Williams because they don't want what happened last year to happen again, right? Where they lose Avery Williams and it's like, oh crap. Like, you know, now we don't have a good, now our return game is just terrible. So we don't want that. Ray McLeod, good returner too. You know, he's good on kick returns as well. So I think between him and Avery Williams, you know, hopefully we'll have a good return game. And then I think Ricky Casey Washington, I think, is a player that the team really likes. They view him as like a developmental, prototypical type receiver. He tested out super well at his pro day. You know, he finished his college career with a 9-catch, 218-yard, 3-touchdown performance. So maybe the best is yet to come from Washington. He's got good size. You know, I sort of see him as maybe the Kadarius Hodge, like, understudy for now, but maybe he can turn into something. Maybe he could be that diamond in the rough type of guy down the line. We'll see. But for now, I think, you know, they're going to be asking him to play special teams and sort of learn behind the guys ahead of him. But at this stage, you know, other than Hodge, he's the only other big quote unquote receiver, like 6 foot plus, you know, 200 plus. So he's probably one of the top backup options for Drake London in the event that London has to go down. Obviously that would be a huge drop off, but, you know, hopefully he can give you something there. And then the offensive line, we've got, I've got them keeping 9. Most teams keep 8. Sometimes you keep 9. You know, we'll see if they want to juggle anything, if they want to try to keep, you know, an extra tight end or what do they do? I think they're at this point, I think 9, is where it is, or maybe they want to keep an extra defensive player. They lose one of these guys. We'll see. You know, I think offensive line depth is always nice, right? Hard to be upset with that. So, the five starters, if I could have the opportunity to return all five starters, and I think that they will, assuming guys stay healthy through camp, you know, fingers crossed. Left tackle, Jake Matthews, left guard, Matthew Bergeron, center, Drew Dahlman, right guard, Chris Lindstrom, and then right tackle, Caleb McGarry. You know, Jake Matthews is entering his age 32 season. I don't think he's really shown any signs of slowing down. I think he's going to be with Atlanta for a while. I know people are itching to replace him or get his, you know, heir apparent. The bigger issue is Caleb McGarry's heir apparent, because I think McGarry's on the way out next year unless he plays incredibly well, because the team will save $14.5 million by moving on. He's just an inconsistent pass protector. I don't think this offense is going to be as run heavy. I don't think it's as good of a fit for McGarry as it was Arthur Smith. And this is going to be an offense that's going to rely on the pass a lot more and the pass protection more. So we'll see if McGarry can earn his keep and stick around next year, or if the team is looking to find his replacement. But he's probably the one on the hottest seat. You know, Drew Dahlman as well, going into the last year of his rookie deal. He's been good, but not great. So, you know, is he someone the team's going to prioritize re-signing? I don't know. He's playing for a big contract here. You know, I think he's an above average starter, but can he really reach that next tier of being a good to great starter. You know, that's important for him. And even if it's not with the Falcons, if he plays really well and earns a big contract, that could factor into comp picks next year too. So hoping obviously for the best there. Chris Lindstrom, not much to say. You know, great, had a big season last year. We all know who Chris Lindstrom is and how good he is, and we're lucky to have him as just an absolute rock on the offensive line. And then Bergeron, I think, improved over the course of his rookie season. He played all the games. You know, he was transitioning to guard after basically playing tackle his entire college career. So that's not an easy transition. He handled it fine. I think this is the time where you could see a big jump from Bergeron. And I think if left guard improves a lot, that could really help the offensive line, especially if he's not just like an average starter, which is kind of what he was last year, and is like an above average to good starter. I think you're really looking at a good offensive line foundation here for the Falcons, and that's going to be really important with Kirk Cousins behind center. In terms of the depth, guys, I like the Falcons' depth offensive linemen. I think they have a good group here. I really like Ryan Neusel. I like how they've developed him over the years and kept him around. When he had to step in and play center last year, he did a good job. He was a solid starter. That's what you're looking for. Same thing with Storm Norton. You know, he was a guy that joined the Falcons last year after having a really bad season as a starter. Comes into Atlanta, has to start a few games at right tackle, does a great job. You know, I think by some metrics, he outplayed Caleb McGarry in those starts. So, you know, Storm Norton, good swing tackle, guy you like to have on your roster. I don't know that I know some people are like, oh, well, he should just start instead of McGarry. I don't know that that's on the table, but, you know, I think having Norton around as a good swing tackle is definitely nice. And then for your really deep depth guys, I like Kyle Hinton. He's stuck around for a while with this team. He could play guard or tackle, experienced veteran, you know, not necessarily a plus player, but a guy that can come in, hold the fort, and can do multiple things for you. That's always a plus. And then I think the team tries to hold on to Tyler Vrabel at tackle. We only saw him briefly last year for the first time. He had to come in and play left tackle when the Falcons lost Jake Matthews for a little bit. And he held up. Like, he held up well. It was a tough environment to come into and play. But I think Vrabel has earned it. I think he's another guy that you look at, like, maybe this could be a future swing tackle for us. Maybe this is a guy we continue working on. Again, doesn't have the ideal measurables, but, you know, technically sound, good player. And it seemed like the lights were not too bright for him when he had to come in and play for the Falcons last year. All right, let's transition over to the defense. So on the defensive side of the ball, also keep it 25, right? Because we kept 25 on offense, 25 on defense. The defense, especially the defensive line, that was where it got sketchier, like in terms of picking. Especially the interior was brutal. Like, that interior defensive line camp is going to be a bloodbath. There's just so many guys there that I would like to keep, which is a nice problem to have, certainly. But there's going to be some fan favorites that are going to be let go, I think, from this group. There's going to be some guys that fans would rather keep, that I would rather keep, that we're probably going to have to risk losing. And you know, don't like that, but do like the level of depth we have acquired here on the interior. At edge, though, edge is in a weird spot, right? The Falcons lost their top two edge rushers in Calais Campbell and in Bud Dupree. They are reportedly talking with Bud Dupree. We know they've been talking with Calais Campbell. I don't know that either are going to be back. I guess we'll see. But as of now, they've made two, you know, sort of depth additions. Braylon Trice in the third round. I like him. I think he's actually about as NFL ready as they come. He's somewhat limited, right? He's a straight line power rusher that could play the run. But that's kind of it. Like, I think he's kind of limited. I don't think he's going to be a high end pass rusher, but someone that can create pressure, that's going to be solid against the run. And is just going to be a relentless player and create opportunities for other guys too. The top two edge rushers right now, it looks like Lorenzo Carter and Arnold Ebikadi. And, you know, Ebikadi did have 6 sacks last year. He started to come on late. It's just like, can he become more than just like a pass rush specialist? Can he do more than just being a designated pass rusher? I don't know. If he could be a really good designated pass rusher, like a, you know, Hassan Reddick, then that would be great, right? I would take that any day of the week. But right now it's been too inconsistent and not good enough against the run. I don't know, you know, obviously going back to the stand-up, where stand-up rushing, I think it's going to be better for him. I think he could play the run better. He's actually a really good pursuit player, but if the run's coming right at him, it's tough for him to hold up. But when he's got that outside leverage and he's playing out there and can set the edge a little bit easier, I think that could be a situation that works out for him. And Lorenzo Carter, I think he actually fits what this Rams offense likes from one of their edge rushers really well. Like, they like to drop a guy in coverage. Carter's really good at that. You know, he's the rare edge that actually drops in coverage well. So I think he fits really well in that role. It's probably why they're not rushing out to sign another guy to fill that role, because he actually fits this really well. I think he's just kind of average. I don't think he creates a ton of pressure or sacks, and he's like a good but not great run defender too. So his versatility is sort of his biggest benefit, and I think he's worth his salary. I think he'll be here, and probably, it looks like at this point, he'll be a starter. But you know, can he give you any more? Can he get more consistent as a pass rusher? Can he generate more? And again, I think going back to the 3-4 is a better fit for him, so maybe that'll help too. But yeah, I'm interested to see how they do that. And then with the depth guys, you know, James Smith-Williams was brought in. Again, he's a good run defender, but doesn't really offer much else there. I'm still holding on to hope for D'Angelo Malone. I think, again, going back to that stand-up, focusing more on the stand-up rushers, I think that's going to be something that helps him. I think I liked his flashes towards the end of his rookie season. He didn't really play defense last year. He played mostly special teams. He is a good special teamer. That's going to help him have a chance to make this roster again. But ultimately, I think it comes down to what the team does with Zach Harrison. Is Zach Harrison more of an interior guy now, or is he an edge rusher? If Zach Harrison's more of an edge rusher, they're probably, Malone's probably out the door. If Zach Harrison's moving to the inside, then I think Malone has a chance to stick around. And obviously, I think Malone could beat out James Smith-Williams too. I don't think that's off the table, but you know, this is kind of an important season for Malone and his future with the Falcons. On the interior, like I said, this one's brutal. Really tough to pick these guys. You know, obviously Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata, those two are the headliners. They're going to be here at least this year. We'll see what happens next year with those contracts. Probably one will be leaving, but I don't know. And then I got the two rookies, obviously. I got the two, you know, earlier rookies. Ruka Roro, obviously he's making the roster. And then Brandon Dorlus. I think those are two guys that the Falcons have roles in mind for. Ruk, I think, is going to be more of a base package guy to start. Dorlus probably more of a pass rush specialist. But I think those guys, you know, have a lot of potential. We'll see how much they play as rookies. And then Zach Harrison, if he's moving to more of that 3-4 defensive end role, I think he slides in to this group. And then the last one I think is going to be the nose tackle. And to me, you know, I don't believe Eddie Goldman's going to make it to camp or to the preseason. If he does, I'll be happy. I would love to have Eddie Goldman on here. If he's like anything like the Eddie Goldman of old, he will be a great addition in the middle of this defense. But I just don't have faith in that happening at this stage. So I think it's going to be Zion Logue then, the Falcons rookie. I think it'd be better for him to start off on the practice squad as more of a depth guy, but if he has to come in, you know, he's got the size, he's got the ability. He'll be just eat. They'll be asking him to eat space to start things out. I think he can handle that. So, you know, it'll be a lot to put on his plate, for a 6th round rookie, but I think being that nose tackle, that's who we're looking at right now. And that's 6 guys right there. So in case you didn't notice, you know, guys like Taquan Graham, Lakeil London, Catavius Street, all guys who started last year, they don't make the roster if this is the group they keep. And that's tough, especially Graham. I think Graham is a better fit for this style of defense. So I liked London last year. Street did some good things. So it's hard to leave those guys off. You know, we'll see how it shakes out. Again, it could, maybe Zach Harrison is more of an edge guy still, and so they move, you know, Taquan Graham into the lineup or Lakeil London. You know, I like all these guys. I would love to see them stick around, but you know, we'll have to see. We'll have to see how it shakes out. But the competition is good. Ultimately, it is a good thing to have to make hard cuts. At linebacker, I think this is one of the most straightforward position groups for sure. You know, Caden Ellis is going to be your top linebacker again. I do wonder if he'll pass rush more in this system. You know, Troy Anderson, I think, is definitely someone they're hoping still will be a starter. He's so special athletically. He's definitely the best coverage option they have. He's just so athletic. I think in man coverage, he could play like a safety. I mean, it's like he has to, and like, hopefully he's been working hard to learn the finer points of the defense and focus on the playing linebacker more, because that was his big thing coming out of college. He played so many positions. He just wasn't polished at all. He's an insane athlete. He's got a super high ceiling. Hopefully he's back healthy. I think if that's the case, he'll probably start next to Caden Ellis. Nate Landman, I think, is just a wonderful third linebacker to have. We know that he's a great run defender. He's a starting caliber linebacker. Again, he has limitations in coverage, but he's smart, so he doesn't get owned in coverage, despite not being the most fluid mover. But he's so good against the run. I think he will play. Like, he'll be active every week. He will play even if he's not starting. Like, if they go to three linebacker sets, or if they, you know, shift Caden Ellis down towards the line of scrimmage. And I do wonder, like, how they utilize Troy Andersen, given how unique of a player he is definitely something to watch. I know some people have speculated he'll play edge. I don't really think that's the case. I do wonder if he'll play more of like a hybrid, like safety sort of dime, you know, linebacker role, where he can be more of that bigger presence against the run while giving you better coverage ability than most linebackers. And he's got insane range as well. So I'm really interested to see how they work Troy Andersen in here. But I think if Andersen can play and is healthy, like if he actually hits what he can be, that could change the entire look of this defense, the complexion, the ability to match up with a lot of different things. He's one of the big linchpins, and he was last year too. I was really sad that his season was cut so short, because I think what he can offer the defense is really special. It's just, we got to see it, right? And that's another big second round pick that we're hoping that's going to provide some returns that we haven't seen yet, really, for the most part. And the final one, you know, I think JD Bertrand, the rookie, good, smart, instinctive player. I think he's going to be the fourth linebacker without too much trouble. I think he can play special teams. He's smart. Like, I don't think there's really, I don't really have any concerns about Bertrand. I think he's not a high end starter. I think he's probably like an average starter at best, but good day three linebacker. That's going to be just a solid player for the Falcons and a reliable depth piece and special teamer. And I think that's what you want in your fourth linebacker, like that. At corner, this is the position group that I think needs the most help. Like, again, like there's a lot of things, like there's a way this group could be really good if everything goes right. Like, AJ Terrell has a great season. Clark Phillips, the move back to like a zone heavy defense, makes him, you know, a good fit, and he's playing outside and playing at a high level, and you know, as a second year player, he's just doing a lot better. D. Alford's back in the slot, manning that. I can't believe they benched him for Mike Hughes. You guys know this. So, you know, I think There's a scenario where like AJ Terrell, Clark Phillips, and D. Alford are a very good starting starting trio. But like there's just a lot of hoping going on there. You know, Mike Hughes, if they keep him, I have to imagine he's starting because he's so expensive. You know, personally, I'd take the cap savings, but you know, Mike Hughes again, like I don't really know what he does better than D. Alford. I don't think he has looked as good as Clark Phillips in his flashes either. I get that he's like a bigger corner and maybe they like his run defending, but you know, I want my corners to play coverage first. Like, I want you to be able to stop receivers. That's the most important thing. But we'll see where I think Mike Hughes is a fine depth corner. I just think like $4 million is a lot to pay for that. So we'll see, what happens there. Antonio Hamilton, I really like that signing. I think he is like a solid starter. So like if they had to turn to Hamilton to play, I think you're pretty comfortable with that. I like that. So I don't know that you want to go into the season with him as your cornerback too, like to start. But very good depth piece. I like that addition a lot. And then, like, they're going to keep six corners. Right now, Kevin King is the sixth one. He hasn't played since 2021. I don't know what to expect at all there. I have a hard time believing he's going to be an impact guy. But, you know, King always had potential. He's reuniting with his college coach. I think, you know, he could be a guy that maybe just needed a break and is able to come back now. But I think that would be a stretch, right? You know, you don't want to hope on a renaissance from a player to really fill out your depth chart. But, you know, I can't rule it out either. So also his name's Kevin, you know, so I got to pull for the guy, right? So, you know, it's a little dicey. I think adding someone like an Akilah Witherspoon would be perfect. And then this looks like a really strong group, where you've got just a lot of guys that can fill in multiple spots, and you know you've got someone that can be cornerback two for you if your projections on Phillips and Mike Hughes aren't going super well. But we'll see. You know, again, it's not a huge rush. Clearly no one's like rushing out to sign a lot of these depth guys, and it might happen before training camp or whatever, but I think this is one spot where they really need to add somebody. So we'll see. And then safety is kind of the same story. Obviously, at safety, you got Jesse Bates, who's like the best safety in the NFL. So that helps. That helps a lot, right? We saw DeMarco Helms could be a very good box safety. He's limited as a coverage player. He does have limitations there. But in this defense, they're going to be relying a lot on one of the safeties to come down and play the run. Like, especially if they're going to that 5-1 front that a lot of times you'll see with this defense, they're going to be relying on one of those safeties to be a great tackler. We know Jesse Bates can tackle, but they probably want him playing more coverage. So this could be a situation where DeMarco Helms just plays the run a lot and focuses on that box role. And, you know, he's a great tackler. We know he's strong in that area. So maybe that's just a great fit for him. And maybe that's why they're not really too concerned, because they're just going to be asking him to mostly play in the box. But if they need someone to play cover two looks, you know, Helms doesn't have the range for it, really. So it's not going to be great there. He's smart. Like, he knows he's where he's supposed to be typically, but not someone that's going to make a huge difference as a deep safety. And then Richie Grant, like, I know there's a lot of hope for Grant. I know that the coaching staff seems to be enamored with him. UCF great. He's so inconsistent. Like, I'll be shocked at this point if he turns into a consistent starter. But, you know, we'll see if he can do it. I'd be happy, right? I think he's clearly got the ability. He's shown the flashes. It's just, this is kind of the end of the road, right? This is the opportunity to make this team and to win this starting job and to kind of resurrect your career and put yourself on the path to getting that second contract here. It's not out of the cards yet, but the clock is ticking, and I'm not super confident in that. And because of that, you know, I'm trying to, you know, because of that, I'm more concerned about the depth in the safety room. Because behind Richie Grant, you know, they don't have a bona fide starter. I'm keeping my eye on XFL convert Lucas Dennis, who was like a XFL All Pro or whatever, one of the best safeties in the XFL, I believe, 2 years ago or 1 year ago or something like that. He stuck around. He stuck on the practice squad all year. He's back. You know, I think he's someone that I like as a depth safety. We'll see if he can, you know, stake his claim now after having a year with the team. I just really think this group could use like a John Johnson. You've heard me say this a million times. I'm not going to harp on it a ton. But even if it's not John Johnson, if you want to go for a higher end guy, Eddie Jackson, Justin Simmons, you know, John Johnson, I think, is kind of in that nice mix of like, he's relatively cheap. He's been in the scheme. You know what you're getting there. That's where I would go. I would just get that and solidify this group. But I think the Falcons want to see the young guys first, and I understand that. Last group to look at, special teams, three guys. This one's easy. Youngway Koo is going to be the kicker. Bradley Pinion's going to be the punter. Liam McCullough is going to be the long snapper. You know, I think this group is pretty much locked up. That's nice. Obviously, that consistency is helpful. Youngway Koo didn't have his like best season in 2023, but he was still one of the NFL's best kickers. So, you know, I think he was like 87% accuracy. I think he missed one extra point, total. So, again, I think Koo is fine. I'm happy with Koo. The kickers are going to have good years and bad years. I think ultimately you're happy with where Koo is and what he brings to the team. Bradley Pinion seems fancy to have like to be down on Pinion. I don't really get it. I think he hit a career high in yards per punt this in 2023, 47. I think he's one of the more underrated punters. He's huge and a good tackler too. He handled kickoffs last year, did a good job with that. So I think Pinion's a good punter. I don't have any problem with Pinion. I think he's a good addition here. And then the team was able to bring back Liam McCullough to be their long snapper. You know, a guy that bounced around the league for a while, finally got an opportunity with the Falcons, like long snapper signing, immediately getting hurt a couple years ago. And McCullough's held it down since then. So good for him. So glad to have him. And then at returner, again, I think it's going to be Rary McLeod and Avery Williams. You know, we'll see who wins what, or if they both kind of share the duties. But the return game for Atlanta was so bad last year after losing Avery Williams. I think it's just a good idea to have two guys that you can rely upon to handle returns just in case. Hopefully Williams is healthy. Hopefully Rary McLeod is able to handle anything that Williams can't. And again, with kick returns being more important this season, having those two reliable returners is a really good idea. So that's it, guys. That's the 53-man roster. Obviously we'll see if things change in terms of guys get cut, guys get added, what have you. There will be some shuffling, I'm sure, over time. But this is kind of the way I initially see things. In terms of things that will be likely to change the most, possibly wide receiver if they add another veteran, maybe edge if they bring back Bud Dupree or Clayus Campbell, the interior defensive line if they shuffle guys around. Mostly I think cornerback and safety are likely where we're going to see some guys change if we get some signings. So we'll see if that happens or not. But Appreciate everyone for hanging out here as we get into the summer now officially with roster projection season. We're going to be having some great guests lined up over the next week. We've got Will McFadden on Monday to talk more about this team. We've got Aaron Freeman coming on Wednesday's live show to talk more about the state of the roster and going into the offseason. And I believe we'll be having Daniel Flick on soon as well to talk about his takeaways from rookie minicamp. So you could look forward to that too. But otherwise, guys, thanks so much for tuning into the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Check out the channel memberships if you want to support the show on YouTube. Check out the Patreon if you're more of a podcast listener. We're going to be fired up the supporter fantasy league soon. And if you want to get in on those, all you have to do is be a patron or a channel member. All the tiers unlock that. Last year, I think we had three leagues. It was a lot of fun. And if you win, you get merch. The merch is still forthcoming. We're working on that. But you will be entitled to one merch, of your choosing, you know, probably like a t-shirt or a hat or something when the merch arrives. So whatever that gets figured out. But it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a fun league. It's a nice way to interact. We usually get some people from around Falcons Twitter and the Falcoholic to join up as well. And so you don't have to just play with me. You know, Adnan will probably be there too. So thanks again, guys, for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the show. Leave that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. We'll see you next time on the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin. Have a good one, folks.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.